Good morning, and welcome to our Mother's Day celebration today. I'm going to start with the call to worship, and then right after that, we're going to go into the Mother's Day liturgy. So follow with me. It's in the bulletin, and the bold print, would you please read that? Okay. We gather together to worship our loving, nurturing God, who, like a mother, knows us intimately, loves us unconditionally, teaches us the way we should go, and comforts us in times of need. Praise God, the source and sustainer of life. Lord, on this day set aside to honor and remember mothers, we give thanks for our mothers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them, and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in carrying us and giving us birth. We thank you for the women who raised us, who were our mothers in childhood, whether birth mom, adopted mom, older sister, aunt, grandmother, stepmother, or someone else. We thank you for those women who held us and fed us, who cared for us and kissed away our pain. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us and that they would be pleased to be called our moms. We pray for older moms whose children are grown.
Grant them joy and satisfaction for child.
We pray for new moms experiencing changes they could not predict.
Grant them rest and peace as they trust you for the future.
We pray for pregnant women who will soon be moms.
Grant them patience and good counsel in the coming months.
We pray for moms who face the demands of single parenthood.
Grant them strength and wisdom.
We pray for moms who enjoy financial abundance.
Grant them time to share with their families.
We pray for moms who are raising their children in poverty. We pray for stepmoms. We pray for moms who were separated from their children. We pray for moms in marriages that are in crisis. We pray for moms who have lost children. We pray for mothers who aborted their children. We pray for moms who gave up their children for adoption.
Grant them peace and confidence.
We pray for adoptive mothers.
Grant them joy and gratitude for the gift you have provided.
We pray for girls and women who think about being moms.
Grant them wisdom and discernment.
We pray for all women who have assumed the mother's role in a child's life. We pray for those people present who are grieving the loss of their mother in this past year. Lord, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. We thank you for the many examples of faithful mothers in Scripture, like Sarah, Hannah, Elizabeth, and Lois. Hear now the first names of other women who have inspired us by their motherly examples. We are mindful this day of all these women, and especially Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had the courage in faith to say yes to your calling. May these women gathered here today emulate these examples of faith, and may they model for all the rest of us what it means to be your disciple. Bless them on this special day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to welcome everybody here. I know it's Mother's Day and there's brunch plans, so some moms couldn't be here today, but it's just wonderful that so many of you could come this morning. We have any guests to introduce. Welcome. And I want to bring a few announcements to your attention. The Tuesday supper with willing helpers is at 5:30, not 6:30. So please note that when you get home, go check your calendars and make sure you write 5:30 and come. And also, I want to, I don't want to highlight too many of these. One thing I want to highlight is our baby boomers. Some people are saying to me, well, I'm soon going to be 70, so I really don't fit in. Wrong. I checked the internet this morning just to confirm the definition of a baby boomer. If you're born between 1946 and 1964 inclusive, you're a baby boomer, no matter if you turn 90. If you're born in those years, you come and join us and have fun and get to know people in a more casual atmosphere. And it's fun. We laugh, we talk, we get to know each other in ways we just can't possibly do so on a Sunday morning. So I really would like to encourage next Sunday we're gathering. Bring your bag lunch and bring your energy for some games, and we're just going to have a good time for those who can make it. Is there anybody else who'd like to highlight? Betty? Mike? Anybody?
I just wanted to tell you about, I got word from my cousin Margie, and the bottom line is Tante Louise is slowly getting better and better. But she's nowhere near out of the woods yet. So just as an update, by the grace of God, she's getting slightly better all the time.
Yes, it was decided rather a little bit late, but better late than never, that for Pentecost, we decided we will have a choir. So the mission choir will sing, but we would certainly ask anyone else who, from what we call the regular church choir, just to come and help us. We had a rehearsal this morning. There were a few of us here. But we will have another one on the day of, on the 24th is Pentecost. So before the service at 10 o'clock, please come out and so help us to make that day special.
Anybody else? I guess I should probably highlight that Community Kitchen is looking for a new leader. So if you love to cook, love to teach women in the community how to cook, and enjoy a little bit of chatting, please give Ann Peters the call. Thanks. And now we'll go into some sharing time, and Gary is going to just lead us for now.
This morning we were aware that there are two people who had passed away we wanted to mention. One of them is Helen Guggenheimer's daughter-in-law, Billy, who's married to Carl. She passed away in the last day or two. And so we want to remember that, not sure about any details. And the other one that many of you have already heard about is that Harry Neufeld passed away this morning. Yeah. In response, I'd like to invite you to stand, and we'd like to sing two verses of Song 516, Just As I Am, one of the songs that he requested for his funeral.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Okay. We'd like to offer our sympathies to Aaron and Carrie. Where did I? Yeah. On the passing of Aaron's grandfather, Arthur, this week. Also, our sympathies to Hans Sawatsky on the passing of his sister. We also would like to keep Jamie Voss in our prayers as he's going for recovery help at the Behavioral Health Foundation. Erica Cron will be going for shoulder replacement surgery. Please keep her in your prayers as well. And as you mentioned, Louise Lage is still in hospital and slowly recovering. Gary, good to see you again. Also, keep all our members who are in the nursing homes in your prayers as well. I'm not going to read all the names today, but please, let's not forget them. And sharing, it's Mother's Day. So what memory do you have of your mother that was a positive influence in your life? I will share one, and hopefully there will be lots of hands going up this morning. I don't like public speaking, and I'm talking, so I'm giving the rest of you a chance to speak too. My mom was always, she taught me hospitality. There'd be friends, it would be lunchtime, supper time. She never said, okay, it's time to go home. Into the basement, no, yeah, we have some canned ham or canned chicken. We'll stretch this meal and include everybody. And I've learned that from her, and I just love that I don't have a fear of just spontaneously inviting people, and I really thank my mom for that. Anybody else like to share about their mom? Okay, I see.
Hello, hello. There we go.
Hi, my name is Elfrieda Gertz. I want to talk about my mom's faith, and I'm not going to take 15 minutes like I threatened Gary here. My persistent memory of our mother, who died almost 20 years ago, is still her constant abiding faith, which she voiced and practiced all her life from the time she and her three sisters and my father left Russia to Germany and then to Canada. Her mantra when things were tough was always, Gott wird mit uns sein, God will be with us, or Gott wird uns behüten, Kinder, God will look after us, children. And then when her family in Canada kept growing with grandchildren and great-grandchildren, she would tell us constantly, wir haben so viel zu danken. Same thing as the house goes getting fuller and fuller. We have so much to be thankful for. And then when things did not go the way she or we had planned, she would say, der Mensch denkt und Gott lenkt. We think, but God is leading us. So yes, faith is a major part in all of our lives. And thank you to our mom.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, there's all kinds of hands going up here. Good, good.
I'm Allison, and I just want to say about my mom. She is like, I don't know what I would do without her. Like, for fear of spoiling the card, I'm not going to say too much. But she's like my personal secretary, so if I want to plan something for the next weekend, I have to, oh, I got to ask my mom, sorry, or because I'm so busy. So she's always keeping track of those things for me because I can't really remember all that stuff. So, yeah, and also I want to just say what a blessing from God my grandmother was. She died in January, and I just want to say, or yeah, I just want to say how much I appreciate her.
I had pie for breakfast.
Now that's a cool mom.
I would like to say that in my lifetime, I have been very blessed to have three fabulous mothers. One, my own sweet mother, and she taught me not to be shy. And 2 weeks before she died, we were looking through Bible verses, and she immediately opened it up. And it's one thing I think about all the time. It opened up right to John, and it said, "Love one another." And that's you know, my mom played the piano in church and sang in the choir, and you know, I mean, many of you still remember how great she was. But this year, I lost two mothers-in-law. Now, some of you know I've been married before, but I was blessed with having two amazing mother-in-laws. I don't want to put greater value on one or the other. But Tilly, my first mother-in-law, she just passed away. And she was always the peacemaker, always the one with the smile on her face and telling everybody it's going to be okay. It's cheer up. Everything's wonderful. And I'm happy to say that I've maintained a really good relationship with her since that time in my life. The second one was Lori Bergen. And she was my mother-in-law for 21 years, just about 21 years. And from the time I first met her, she was a very strong lady of faith, and also a strong lady of very good understanding. And I'm just totally blessed to have had these three women in my life, and then there's this one. She's my mother and my wife, and everything else in between. And you know, guys, you should feel lucky instead of thinking, "Oh, she's nagging me all the time because I left a spot on the dishes." But you know, maybe that could be addressed a little better. But the point is about Karen is the fact that she protects me from myself. And all of you guys should think that, because we're all the same. Thanks.
Betty Lowen. One of the things that I really remember about my mom was that she made faith simple. To her, it was just never, I never remember her thinking, "Well, this is so hard for me, or I should maybe do this or that." It was just simple. God was there. She belonged to Him. And it was just very simple. My dad was one who he liked to argue and discuss and do all these things, but to her, it was simple. Faith does not, I guess that's the bottom line. Faith does not have to be hard. It was easy. The other thing is that she was incredibly kind, and I don't know why I'm crying, but it's just how it is. But yeah, she's been gone a very long time. But anyway, kind. I don't remember her ever saying one bad word or unkind thing about anybody, and that's what she really has taught me, and I tried to live by that. Everything could always, there was always something good in the matter, and she did not have an easy life. But kindness was something that she practiced, and everybody loved her, and she loved everybody else.
Linda Titterton on an emotional Sunday. Yikes, who put me up here today? Anybody else?
My mom always helps me focus, like when I am supposed to brush my teeth and I'm not doing it. She tells me, "Brush your teeth," so I get things done.
I'm going to get a little emotional here because my mom just passed away a while ago. But I just want to talk about my mom's unconditional love. No matter how you hurt my mom, or whoever hurt my mom, or whoever you were, my mom had this unconditional love for everybody. Whether you were a stranger walking down the street and she'd never met you before, she would exude this unconditional love for that person just by smiling at them, and she would stop them and she would talk to them. She was a gift to all of us, and she was a gift to my dad. And the other thing I want to say is I just want to thank this congregation because my mom felt really loved here. And she always told me that how much she felt at home here and how much she felt everybody's love for her. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of you for that.
I'd also like to say I was at your mom's funeral, and I don't know if I've ever been to a funeral where I've seen so many neighbors honoring a person. Like what you said, I could see that in your mom.
Carrie.
Oh, go for it.
Age before beauty.
I'm so sorry.
Does it work? I was very fortunate. I had three mothers. My birth mother was very beautiful, but I never knew her. I was just a baby when she passed away. And then my aunt was a kindergarten teacher. The reason I'm so brilliant is I've been going to kindergarten since I was three. And she took very good care of me. Meantime, my father came to Canada, and he remarried a wonderful Mennonite lady, and that's where I came into the Mennonite faith. I had been raised Catholic, and I'm fortunate to know that both are good. And I'm very happy to be in this congregation. And my mother-in-law was an angel, as Hildegard will say, who took very good care of all of us. And I so appreciated being fortunate enough to have her too. Thank you.
My name is Carrie Martins, and my mom is sitting beside me. But I don't know if you all know this, but my mom is really smart. And we know. Okay. A memory that I have, she actually went back to school to get her ed degree when I was five. And so she would go to school during the day, then come home and deal with three little guys and then teach piano lessons. And then she would work on her homework. So when I would wake up in the middle of the night, later on, I would come down and see her reading on the chair, and she really inspired me to go to school and to follow my passion. So thanks.
I'm Carol, and Carrie's mom. My mom passed away 5.5 years ago, and she had lots of leadership abilities, and she was hospitable and all those things, and she was also manipulative, like a true Mennonite woman should be. But I guess my biggest memory of her and what I really appreciate about her is the way that she treated her grandchildren. They were all special. She would send parcels with cookies and pretzels and special little things that she found, not expensive things. And she would remember all their birthdays, and she would give them hugs and tell them how important they were. So that's what I remember today.
I'm going to speak just briefly about my mother. Many of you knew her, Anna Hamm, and she passed away almost 6 years ago. And I still remember the morning that she passed away, and I had to come to church and sing that morning. And I wondered how I could do that when I knew that she had only passed away a few hours before. But she and I used to laugh when something would sort of make us laugh, or we were upset or something. We would just say, "Hallelujah, schöner Morgen." And that was a song that came into my head like a few weeks before, that I wanted to sing that Sunday morning. And it just was so appropriate to be able to sing that, because for her, that was a beautiful morning when she passed away in May. And all of you here know what wonderful volunteer she was, and Bethania for 37 years. And I know that my spirit to be involved in things came from her. She was an amazing woman. I could only be one-tenth of her. I would be blessed. Thank you.
Any other hands going up? Okay, I should just add that, you know, speaking of an example of volunteering, both my mom and dad have been awesome in that as well. So, we're finished? Yep. Okay. Gary, it's your turn.
This is an interesting morning. Not only are we tag teaming here, but our emotions are getting pulled in every direction. So we've already had a prayer for our mothers, so I'd like to invite you to just bow with me as we briefly ask God to hold each of us in his arms, to thank him again for our mothers, and to trust God that for whatever comes our way, God will be there. Let's bow and pray. God, we come into your presence today and we recognize that all that goes on in our lives, in our church, and in our world is in your radar screen. Thank you for the celebration we can have for our mothers and the celebration of life as we grieve those who have passed away that we have loved very much and who have loved us. We thank you for the way that we can come before you this morning, and as was mentioned already, faith is simple. We place our lives in front of you and say, God, I'm going to need a little help here to make it through. We're going to need you to hold our hand as we negotiate the next curves, and you are there, and we are grateful. God, we come before you when we recognize the lack of perfection in our own lives. We recognize that there are things that we have said and done which we shouldn't have, and there are things we didn't say and should have done which we didn't, and you are gracious. And so we thank you today for your grace and mercy. God, you come to us like an amazing mother, caring for us, wrapping your arm around us, nurturing us, encouraging us, and doing all of those things. We ask that you would continue to be with us as we reach out to our world to reflect that as well. We think of those who are grieving this morning, those in hospital, those in care homes, and ask that you would care for them, but also help us as an extension of you to go out there and respond to them. Fill us with joy, strength, allow us to weep and laugh as we go through our service today. Amen.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. If I were when you were but a child, with a faith to suit you well, in a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time, and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in, and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry, I'll be there when you are old. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold.
Janet, would you come and join me up here, please? As Anabaptist Christians, we understand the church to be the body of Christ. This is a place where the kingdom of God has become a reality. It's growing, and there are some stretching and some pains involved, but it's growing. It's a place where, the church is a place where we recognize that God gives gifts to people and we call them out and use them and the church works. Paul uses the imagery of the body. He says, all of us are one of the pieces, parts that makes up the body. And when we do our part, it helps the body go, but we also need other people. Peter uses the imagery of a building. He says, we're like a building, only each of us is a stone, but a living stone. Which means we squirm around and don't always fit. And we all are built together on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And as each of us does our part, beautiful imagery, the church comes together. There it is. In all of this, the function of the church is to build the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. And God gives gifts, the Spirit gives gifts, as the Spirit chooses, each of us has a part to play. And we, our job is to sit there and say, is this my place? Hallelujah, I'll do it gladly. As a church, we have recognized, learned to recognize and call out people's gifts. We say to people, ah, you'd be a great usher, you'd be a great worship leader or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. And we've also learned how to plug them in. We say, we're going to have this little ceremony at the front and we're going to bless you all and you're going to do all these different jobs. Today we want to do something in between those two, in between recognizing and plugging in. And we're going to call that blessing. We want to offer a blessing for Janet Peters as she moves forward. We as a church, as her home congregation, have recognized her gifts. And we have appreciated the way that Janet has been willing to plug in speaking and worship leading, music ministry, Sunday school, committees, and the list goes on and on. She has been very willing to do that. Janet has been faithful in responding to the call to participate. And more recently, she was faithful in responding to God's call to prepare herself for pastoral ministry as a great sacrifice to herself and her family. She set things aside, headed off to CMU, and finished up just in the last little while her MA. Janet does not know exactly where God is calling her at this point, but today we would like to offer our blessing as God continues to lead her. And what that means is, to offer our blessing means we affirm again the gifts that Janet has, and we commit ourselves to pray as she goes through the process of asking where it is that God would like to have her. In a few minutes, I'll be asking whoever would like to come and join us at the front to lay hands on Janet as we have a prayer of blessing. But first of all, I've asked Janet if she would share a little bit about how God has led her in this process. Janet, please.
I didn't get up earlier and talk about my mom because I knew I was going to be talking now, and this is probably enough. But I also wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I'm crying already. I haven't even started. I feel like this journey began 21 years ago when I decided to attend CNBC with the feeling of being called to work in the church. At the time, I was focused on youth ministry. But during my first year, I took a conducting class, and a passion for church music was awakened in a new way. I spent 4 years as a youth pastor, during which time I was gently but firmly told that youth ministry was not my calling. And after feeling so certain, I found this to be a painful truth to accept. And while the church I was a part of at that time had also affirmed other ministry gifts, it took time for me to let go of the hurt and the doubt and the confusion that I felt. I found joy and energy and a new sense of myself in conducting church choirs, and then in choosing music and planning worship for quite a number of years. And it was in this church that I was allowed to grow and develop and stretch those gifts. 7 years ago, I again felt a tug to something more, the call to work in the church as a vocation. And so I began taking classes in 2008. I began with my passion for worship and music, but again, new passions were developed and awakened through my courses and experiences at CMU. My sense of call was reforming, but I couldn't yet see its full shape. My passion for music grew into a passion for corporate worship, which in turn grew into a passion for the life of the church. But this growth has happened in fits and starts, and these last stages of the journey have had strange and winding paths and quite a few bumps. My love for the church has been challenged by conflicts and by pain inflicted within the church. But it has also deepened through my studies in church history and theology, and through continuing to attend and to be involved in my church, in spite of the pain. My faith and my relationship with God has been shaken by untimely deaths and unanswered questions, but it has also been strengthened through prayer and learning to accept and embrace the mystery. My sense of self has shifted and blurred, but it is also solidified through my courses, my relationships with profs and classmates, and especially my supervised ministry experience at Douglas. 3 years ago, we made the decision that I would work on my MA full-time for 2 years, and then be done, find a position. We decided to sell our house to minimize expenses and to allow me to focus on school without needing to work. My parents opened their home, and my family downsized to 2 rooms. The original 2-year plan has stretched to 3, as I began searching last spring for a place to be a pastor, because I finally learned that that is my calling. Through 21 years, I have tried to follow this call. I have struggled with this call, and I've even tried to ignore this call. My family has supported and encouraged me, and also pushed me to find my place and to become. For most of this time, this has been my church family. We keep coming back. There have been pain and there have been challenges, but there has also been so much encouragement and affirmation and grace. At this point in the journey, I am waiting. And this has been one of the hardest years of my life. Knowing my place and yet not being able to find it. I have many times when my faith is steady and my state of mind is positive. But I also have many times when I can't be strong anymore. I'm tired and I'm anxious and I'm sad. And that's when I need others to be strong for me, to remind me of God's call and to hold me up until I can find my footing again. Thankfully, God keeps sending those others, and many of you are here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janet, for sharing with us, for being vulnerable in your family. I'd like to invite those of you who would like to come up and support Janet. We'll get Janet to stand right about the middle when she's ready. And if the rest of you would come up and just stand around her. You can't all come up, but half of you can if you'd like. So please come up. I'd like to invite the rest of you to stand as we pray a prayer of blessing for Janet. Let's pray. God of life, this morning we come to thank you that you not only adopt us as your children through the work of your Son, Jesus the Christ, but you have also invited us to be a part of your family, the church. Thank you for the way that you have trusted us with gifts which we can use to build up the church, to learn to better worship you, to learn to better love each other, and to care for our world. Today we have come to ask your blessing on Janet Peters. We have seen and called out her gifts in pastoral ministry, which she has generously shared with your church. In humility and with great personal sacrifice, she has developed these gifts through study at CMU, and now she awaits for a place to use her gifts to build up and lead your people. Fill Janet with confidence and peace as she waits for the calling of your people. May she continue to feel the affirmation of your Spirit and the encouragement of her home congregation here at North Kildonan Mennonite. Be with her family who have walked with her through this preparation for ministry. Give them patience and contentment in the process. Be with us as her home congregation. Help us not to forget our commitment to prayer and support, continuing to encourage Janet and her family. And be with the congregation that will call Janet. Prepare them so that when they begin to work together, they will feel the creative, refreshing, life-giving movement of your spirit. And now, Janet, may the God of peace who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good so that you may do God's will, working among the church that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Down is always worse.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go. You okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. Janet, thanks so much for allowing us to surround you as your church, and we will continue to encourage you and keep you in our prayers. It's nice that you can be here. All right. People who aren't paying income tax yet, do you like to come to the front for a children's story? Okay, so you've got to figure out what day it is today. What day? Mother's Day. Did you guys all bring your mother's breakfast in bed?
No.
Yeah. Well, I heard this morning that somebody brought breakfast in bed, so I'll have to try and remember tomorrow, I suppose. Anyhow, so what we want to talk about today is stuff that your mothers have taught you. So, can somebody tell me, what has your mother taught? While you're thinking, I'll show you something. You know what that is? No. Just what you see. What do you see? A jar with macaroni painted gold. One of us kids, I don't even know who it was, gave this to my mother, and she treasured it, and my mother was a little bit of a, look what's in there.
Money.
This is old money my mother collected because it's made of real silver. And she said, you can't spend that. And so I inherited this thing, which can never go anywhere. Anyhow, I learned a lot from my mother about being careful and looking after things. She always liked to do things, to fix things. When I was in grade one, she said, well, Gary, you kind of are like that too. And so they bought me an old tube radio that stood about 3 feet tall. And I worked on it for a while. And then I got frustrated and took a hammer and smashed it all to pieces. I've learned better how to be like my mom after that. But anyhow, what have you learned from your mom? Did your mom teach you anything?
Yes.
Teaches you to focus. Very good. Focusing is great. Anybody else? How to read. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Helps you to be kind. That's great.
Yes.
To sing. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, there's lots of things our mothers teach us. Sometimes our mothers teach us about prayer and about being faithful followers of Jesus. So we want to do two things here. One of them is I want to give you this card. It says, and guess what? Somebody didn't pay attention to detail. My mother would have said to me, Gary, you should do that right. She wasn't here. And inside, there's a place for you to say, it says, Dear Mom, thank you for teaching me. And then you can write down what it is. And then down the bottom, it says, I love you, Mom. Okay. So I want you to hand these out. And here's another thing we have. I have two different kinds of chocolate bars, and they each have two pieces to them. And I want you to each take one, and I want you to share it with your mother later, okay? Okay. And just before you head back, we're going to pray together, okay? You know what? Yeah. You take one, and then you need to share that with your mom. Not give it to her. You have to eat half of it. Okay, can you come and sit down, and then we're going to pray together. You know what? There's so many. You can even have another one later if you like. Let's pray together first. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for our mothers, the way that they loved us and cared for us, corrected us once in a while when we needed it, and taught us to see you. Amen. Okay, if you want to grab another one, then you can talk to your mom twice, and then you can go sit down, okay? Oh, and the children are going downstairs to Sunday school now. A fairly abbreviated Sunday school.
Okay, if you'd like to all take your inserts, and it's Mother God, you gave me birth, not mopping her. Little spelling error. I was typing in a hurry on Friday morning before I printed. So if you can take out
It's going to be a melody that you do recognize. The words you don't, but the melody you will as soon as we play it.
Have a Bible, and if you don't have it with you, read the passages at home, and if you don't have a Bible, come see me later. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky, mingled where no tempest darkened, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's a poem that was written in 1865 by William Wallace. It's the last stanza. Now, things have changed a lot in the last 150 years. I mean, in times past, the men would go out and win bread, whatever that means, and the women would stay home, and through the daily coming and going of life, they would teach children about love and caring and contentment. They would watch them as children dealt with bugs and rain and explain to them who God was and how this all fit together. Now, as men, we've learned a lot, right? Nodding is the right answer here. We've learned a lot. We've come in touch with our gentle side, and we can parent like nobody's business, right? But it's still true that in many ways, women continue to bring the caring to children at their youngest. If you read people like Piaget and Erickson and Freud, be careful, that last one, they tell us how important it is the first couple of years of life, what children are taught. And when we learn at that age about contentment and self-esteem and all those things, it doesn't guarantee anything. We all make up our own mind, but what it does tell us is that nurture at an early age makes a big difference in our self-esteem, the way we treat other people, the development of appreciation for things like theater and art and music, an openness to faith. A whole lot of things are helped in that place. Now, we want to be careful not to equate good mothering with good children, because sometimes people who don't do the greatest job have great kids, and sometimes it's the other way around. We want to be very gentle there. All we're saying is nurturing makes a difference, and it's often mothers who do the nurturing. Blessings on you who are fathers who have done that as well. Now, there are lots of passages in the Bible that talk about this. In the passage that we almost read from 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, that amazing faith which first was in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, is also in you. Isn't that amazing? That the faith gets passed down. Choices were made along the way, but the parents passed on faith to their children. Or in the passage from Psalm 116, verse 16, which is the sermon title, it says, I am God's servant, as was my mother before me. blows me away, that passage. God's intention is for each of us to make a choice to follow. As they say, God has no grandchildren. But we do want to pass on, and many of us receive that at the hands of our mothers. Deuteronomy chapter 6, fabulous passage where the psalmist, or the Deuteronomist rather, is talking about accepting God's laws. And he says, not just here, it's got to be here too. And he says, share it with your children. When you tuck them into bed and you pray with them and you read Bible stories and you listen to them mulling through their day. When you send them out the door to tackle the big bad world. How's your day? What's going on? I'll be praying for you. All the things that get said. When they come home and you sit down around the supper table and you process what went on. And when they say to you, what does all this mean? Don't feed them a bunch of theology. Tell them your story. How has God been active in your life? As we look through the Bible, there are so many examples. Sarah and Hannah, Shipra and Puah, Lois and Eunice, and many others who modeled for their families what it meant to have faith in God. Martyr's Mirror, piles of amazing stories, and in our day and age as well, amazing ones. But it's the stories of the people that don't get heralded that we need to hear, and we heard some of that during sharing time today. I want to briefly mention I want to briefly mention three important mothers that have been a part of my life. The first one is Martha, my biological mother. As I've mentioned earlier times, we were quite poor when I grew up. And my mother used to go to the thrift store and buy these huge dresses and bring them home and very carefully take them apart, wash them and iron them and make clothes for us kids. And somehow of the six, I was chosen to be the seam ripper person with her. She said I had a steady hand. Anyhow, for the hours we would sit there and I would pull and she would very carefully with her seam ripper open up the seams, careful not to rip the cloth or dig any holes, we would talk. And she told me stories about her childhood and she explained to me what it meant to be a person of peace, how that was a part of our life, not just a belief that we held on to. She explained to me about the many things in life, the importance of forgiveness, why my father gave away his only winter jacket to a family whose house burned down, even though he didn't have another one and couldn't afford another one. I remember watching her on payday. My father would bring home his check in cash. I don't know how that worked, but anyhow, he did. And there they would sit at the table with all these envelopes in this cash, putting cash in envelopes where it belonged. Too many envelopes, not enough cash. But there was one envelope that said church, and it always got something. My mother taught me, not with long theological discourses, but through her life and in the little talk, what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. The second mother in my life was very influential. Her name was Dorothy. Dorothy was Carrie's grandmother, the person who eventually became my mother-in-law, Carol's mother. When I was 8, 1964, 56 for you, those of you doing some quick math, in 1964, she was my Sunday school teacher, and she was the Bible teacher at a weekly Bible study for the children, where we would go on Wednesday nights. She was also the mother of my best friend, Carol's older brother, and I would go over there frequently, and I would watch as she interacted with the neighbor kids who insisted on smearing mushrooms on their house and driving around their fresh lawn on their bicycles, the way she responded with kindness. And I remember the way that she always had a place at the table and time to listen to people who needed to talk. People who were discouraged in life, people who didn't fit in, all knew her. I remember her going to the bank to chat with one of the girls that had been in pioneer clubs. This young woman had a seriously messed up life. But my mother-in-law had formed a relationship with her where she could walk into the bank and say to her, how's your life? Are you still reading your Bible? Do you need another one? Did you lose it? And she walked out with this young woman thinking the world of her because my mother-in-law, Dorothy, cared deeply about her. When I was about 18 or 19, I got involved with the charismatic movement. And so I came back and I was going to tell people the real truth about life, and I sat down with her to explain things. And it was a while later that I understood what she was doing. Gently listening to me as I worked things out. I got my feet back on the ground eventually, and it was due in large part to her. She was an amazing woman. I was afraid I might lose her, so I quickly married her daughter so that I could hang on to her. The third mother is not my mother, but the mother of my children. The person who finally consented to marry me almost 37 years ago. Carol has modeled faithfulness in so many ways. I would be off busy doing the work of God, going to another committee meeting, while Carol was at home, sitting with our children, tucking them into bed, reading them Bible stories, praying with them, listening to them go through the struggle of life. She was doing what I was trying to plan for the church to do at the other end. I remember often, and I may have mentioned this once before, it was very significant to me, come home at the end of a busy day dealing with people, you know, wonderful people, of course. 5:30 or 6 o'clock, wanting to grab a quick supper to head back to another meeting, walking in the door, can't smell supper, can't see supper, no hint of supper around. But there at the table are four very happy people, Carol and our children, smiling and laughing and drawing and cutting and pasting and talking about life. And I thought, I have the luckiest children in the world. And I could eat a peanut butter sandwich again. Carol modeled faith to our children in the midst of a busy life, and she was very busy, playing piano, singing, leading choirs, leading Sunday school, and the many, many other things that she did. She took time for them, and I don't remember her complaining. That was my department. Or, as Carrie mentioned earlier, as our children got to the age of going to kindergarten, that Carol modeled what it means to develop the gifts God has given you as she headed off to university. Had to work that one out. It was an hour and a half by bus to get to the university, and with a car it was 10 minutes, so we figured out a way to get another car because Carol did not want to miss the children when they came home for lunch at Sunday school. Through all the little things, as I watched Carol modeling her faith, I was moved. And so today on Mother's Day, I'd just like to say thank you to those three mothers who have been a part of my life for the way that they have influenced me in terms of my faith. But also to thank all of you who are mothers for the way, and all of you can thank your mothers for the way that you have worked hard at modeling. Things have not always been easy for you. Things have not always worked out the way that you wished that they would. But you have worked at being faithful in modeling the way of God. We put people in positions on pedestals, but as the poem said, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that leads the church. May God fill you with joy as you consider that today, and for those of you who still have mothers, phone them up and say, thanks for all the things that you taught me. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction, and then Leanna will lead us in the last song. The benediction is for all of us, to be sure, but especially aimed at our mothers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Okay, if you could all just flip your insert over to "The Lord Lift You Up." And we'll sing it through twice.
The Lord lift you up, the Lord take your hand, the Lord lead you forth and cause you to stand secure in word, seeking God's face, abounding in love, abiding in grace. The Lord lift you up, the Lord take your hand, the Lord lift and cause you to stand secure in God's word, seeking God's face, abounding in love, abiding in grace.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.